Good morning, and thank you for joining us from your homes. Let me ask you a question to start things out today. If we are not in control, how can we experience peace? The peace the Lord wants us to have. Anybody feel in control today? How's the peace going for you regarding health and economics, childcare, the nation? Today, we hope to give you some really clear answers to that question, and we have some other pressing questions that we're going to take a look at. Our agenda today is we're going to open with prayer and then with a song regarding the first question we're going to talk about, and we'll have a teaching regarding really clear answers to pressing questions, and then we will have three more songs of worship. At least that's the agenda we have planned. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks for this tremendous grace that we enjoy. Thank you for blessing our nation, our churches, our lives, as you have. We pray for the other nations of the world, your church around the globe, and their influence and ministry in this time. And Father, we pray that you would, in your perfect way, use this pandemic globally, locally, and in every way for revival, for our growth, for our well-being, for awakening. Have your way in us, have your way through us. Father, thank you for great grace, great provision. On the one hand, we pray for this virus to be healed from this planet, cleansed. On the other hand, we pray more so for revival. Have your way in us, have your way through us. Be honored in this time of worship, of thanksgiving, of peace in you. We know you're honored by our choosing peace as we trust you. Thank you for great grace. Be honored in this time as we sing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. From your homes, if you would, join us and consider the first question we've asked as we sing this song. Russ, Suzanne, Wayne, sound folks, video folks, thank you very much. Quality control people, don't want to leave you all out. Thank you very much. We are doing what we can to practice social distancing, and I think for the most part we're hitting it dead on, finding it difficult, but I think we're getting it. We take it seriously. We want to be part of the solution and the blessing of this country in every way, including the whole social distancing thing. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this privilege we have, this privilege to be able to spend time together via the internet system, the electronics you've provided for us. Thank you for working your grace in this time, through this time. Bless in every way the marriages, the families, the singles, the relationships. And Father, we pray that you would grant us great peace, shalom, fullness of well-being, and that we would know empowerment and guidance for ministry as well. Have your way in us, have your way through us. We pray for a spirit of unity and discerning in every way what you're up to. Guide us today in this time. Give us understanding of the scriptures we're looking at. Have your way in us, have your way through us. Be honored in our focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Open, if you would, in your Bible at home to Philippians chapter 4. We'll be there momentarily. That'll be the longer passage we'll look at. We'll look at a number of passages. We've covered, since this coronavirus, COVID-19 thing broke, we've covered a bunch of passages in the Bible. We've looked at the theological and worldview foundations as found in the Bible. We've looked at attitudes during this time. We've looked at our ministry plan as a church during this time. And our plan for last Wednesday night and this upcoming Wednesday night, at least the plan is, looking at how to experience joy in isolation and social distancing. Going to talk about that this morning, but there are some pressing questions. And for the sake of the joy of this congregation and those watching, and the sake of unity of this congregation and ministry, I want to speak to some pressing questions this morning. I'm going to try to go nice and slow and present some really clear answers to some pressing questions. All right, so that's the goal today regarding coronavirus challenges before us. I got five questions that are on my desk that I've transferred to these notes. We may get two or three, I don't know, maybe four, maybe five. We'll see how it goes. I'll keep an eye on the clock and we'll get as far as we get. Question number one, if we are not in control, by the way, anybody feel in control? If we're not in control, how can we possibly experience peace? Watching the newscasts, and I try to get a little bit of everybody, liberal, conservative, and whatever else I can find, everybody wants solutions and dates. You know, we're Americans. Give us dates. The market needs dates. Our companies need dates. Our mothers need dates. Give us the light at the end of the tunnel. What's the solution? When's it going to happen? Come on, we're in control. And I don't know that we are, and I think maybe we're learning that. Washington has been described as, and I don't mean anything disrespectful, this is just an observation, Washington has been described as a log floating down the river. And every bug on it thinks they're driving. Now, truth be told, I think it could probably, the same thing could probably be said of our lives as well. We think we're in control. We think we're driving. Don't know. And maybe we're learning that in this time. Let me give you a passage. We're going to talk about two passages in regard to this question. One is the example of Jesus Christ. We're heading near Easter here. We are going to break into an Easter series, going to celebrate the Passion Week and the like. We're not going to neglect that. We'll celebrate that together. But because we're breaking into the Easter week, so many passages we could look at, but this is a pretty good one. John chapter 14 and verse 25. We'll be in Philippians 4 in a moment that I mentioned, but John 14, 25. You got to get the context as we read this. This is part of what we call the upper room discourse. John 13 through 17 is a teaching that Jesus gave in an upper room before going to a garden to be arrested and then be tried and tortured and hung on a cross the next day. Jesus is totally in control. He's the only one there that's totally in control. And he says, as part of his teaching to the boys, and maybe there were others gathered there, families, he says this in John 14, 25. These things I have spoken to you, this teaching that I'm giving to you, while abiding with you. In other words, these truths to prepare you to be the church that I desire for you to be. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything that I've said to you. In other words, you're going to forget a lot of this stuff because you're not understanding a lot of this stuff. But I promise you, the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, is coming to live on the inside of you, and he will guide you boys into remembering everything and applying everything. You'll be used to write scripture. Then the next words he says are these, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful or cowardly. Peace I give to you. We see the foundation of peace right here. As a divine gift, not like the peace the world gives. What is the peace the world gives? We are telling each other, everything will be okay. And we have the power of a bug on a log floating downstream. And we know that doesn't fly. We want to think it does, but it doesn't, and we all know it. Who has power over that log? Not any one of those bugs. So Jesus says, it's not like one bug talking to another bug. My peace I'm going to give to you. They were with Jesus. He is going hours from this point. He knows he's going to be tortured violently and then bear every person who has and one day would trust him on his body on the cross. Bear every sin and bear the wrath of God, which is 10,000 times more painful than the torture and the gruesomeness that he would be going through. And he's able to look at those boys and say, my peace, the peace I have right now. Think about this. Jesus was going to purposely be infected with the most deadly virus of all, our sin. And yet he had peace. How can that be? And he would yield up his sovereignty to the dictates of some very ugly people. I mean that morally. Well, here's the really clear answer. How, if we're not in control, can we have peace? Here's the really clear answer. I think Paul spelled it out super plain in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and following. And I think this is what was going on with Jesus himself as he spoke about the presence of God, the truth of God, and his focus on the presence and truths of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Now, I think that includes the coronavirus, COVID-19. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, that means making a request, with thanksgiving. Is that how we pray? It needs to be. As we ask God for things, our hearts are thankful. We're thanking God for his many, many blessings, including the gospel. Key to prayer, thankfulness. Don't be anxious about anything. Well, how's that possible? A, in everything by prayer and request, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the promise, the peace of God. Not as the world gives, not as the bug gives, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard or garrison, fortress, your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The presence of God, central to this. The request by us is to bring everything to God in prayer. So the point is, whenever I'm tempted to be anxious about anything, what is that? That's a call to prayer. So we come to our Father in prayer all day long, every day. Whenever that news report comes on, we're all doomed, we're all going to be like New York, whatever it may be, we come to the Lord in prayer. We make our requests known. And as we truly trust Him with that, the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ, in our union with Christ. So, clear answer, A, pray with thanksgiving regarding everything whenever we're tempted to be anxious. B, next verse, whatever is true, that's that everything I've said to you, I'm going to bring to your remembrance to the Holy Spirit. I've taught you. I want you to know my truth. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever honors God and others and our government, whatever is right, whatever is pure, that means morally right, whatever is lovely, full of love, valuing others and God, whatever is of good reputation in heaven, if there's any excellence from heaven's standards, if anything worthy of praise, as intended by God, let your mind dwell on these things. So, A, the really clear answer to how to have peace, A, pray in regard to everything. B, think. In other words, let your mind dwell on what is heavenly. And so I got to ask the question of me and of you, does the news or the Word of God dominate your home? Which is it? So many opportunities online today to listen to good biblical teachings regarding coronavirus stuff, and so many other wonderful things for life in marriage and family and our society. Begin tuning into those things. If you need help with that, please, please call us, notify us, email us, text us, whatever. So pray, think on what is heavenly, and then see, it's not enough just to do that and then hide. See, verse 9, the next verse, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul's saying, you have my example. He's writing to a church in Philippi where he was, as we learned last Wednesday night, where he was beaten up, beaten with rods, and then put into an inner prison. And there, he was praising God. But they saw that. And now they know he's in prison in Rome, facing the death penalty. That's where he's writing this from. The things you've learned, I've been present with you, I've taught you. The things you received from me as you listened and watched, what you've heard from me, what you've seen in me, and really bad things happened to him, but he still maintained the peace of God. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. That's key, but practice these things. So, the really clear answer to how to have peace in this time, A, pray regarding everything. Every worry and concern that comes out, just take it before the Lord in prayer. Not some quick prayer, but actually take it before the Lord and listen and know the presence of God. B, think on what is heavenly. Don't be just dominated by world news. C, obey. And part of that is having that time of rest, extended devotional times and the like, and part of it is going to be in ministry where some people may not like us for that, and that's just kind of the way that it is. So we obey. Doing is part of having peace, but it's doing what God lays on our heart. Now, A, B, and C, with the foundation implied of trust. We trust God. That's implied here. We trust His presence. He is the God of peace. He is the God who grants peace. So the foundation is trusting God. And then on that foundation, we pray regarding everything. We think on heaven's things. And we obey what we learn in Scripture as God guides us as well. All right? So that's question number one. How, if we're not in control, how can we have peace? We trust the one who is in control and focus on Him in prayer, in our thoughts, in our actions. Okay? Contact us if you have any questions about that, please. Or send them in on Wednesday night during the live feed. Question number two, is COVID-19 the judgment of God? I've been asked this a number of times. Is it the judgment of God or an act of the grace of God? Which is it? Well, here's a couple things to meditate on, and I will give you the really clear answer in a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 is a passage we looked at last week regarding our ministry plan and dads and their children, or parents and their children. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, love God. This is the Shema. This is the beginning of the nation of Israel. This is the foundation of the nation of Israel, the front edge. Bottom line, to be my people, people of Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Just that's the starting, that's the foundation place. And on top of that, the words I'm commanding you, keep them on your heart. That's kind of like Philippians passage we just read. And John passage 14. The words I'm commanding you, keep them on your heart. Teach them diligently to your sons. Talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. What he's saying, all your waking hours from bedtime to bedtime, rising time to bedtime, talk about this stuff. It's a wonderful thing that many of us have a lot more time to spend with the kids. We can actually spend time when they get up and when they go to bed and when we sit at the dinner table and when we walk by the way. It's a beautiful thing to see families walking together. So that's what we looked at last time, and we encourage families to love each other, spend time together. But I want to bring in a new passage this time, Malachi chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. Those are the last three verses in the Old Testament. So we started with the beginning of the nation of Israel. Now I want to bring to your attention today the last three verses to Israel. The Lord says this, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, the statutes, ordinances, which I commanded to Israel at Horeb." Same as Deuteronomy 6. Just, you know, the whole Old Testament plays off of Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 and following. The entire thing. And the last words, it seems appropriate, in the Old Testament, before 400 years of silence, then Jesus would come, is same as the opening words. Focus on my words. Now, the next verse says this, "Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet." Now, there's no reincarnation in the Bible. Obviously, that's used as a prophet to come who is a type of Elijah, a prophet in the Old Testament. Pretty fiery prophet. And that's going to be John the Baptist. Jesus makes that pretty plain in the Gospels. "Behold, I'm going to send to you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and the terrible day of the Lord." Last verse, "He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse." Now, that's a warning of judgment, but it's a warning of grace, going, I'm giving you the way out. And God judges nations. There's no way to read through the Old Testament and know that God doesn't take world empires and raise them up and get rid of them in a day. There's no doubt about that. That's plain in Scripture. And it's always precipitated by numerous, if you will, shots over the bow. Numerous. And yet there's no formula as to how many. So, the coronavirus, the judgment of God, or an act of the grace of God? I'm going to suggest to you, just like all of these things in the Old Testament that didn't lead to the immediate destruction of a nation, it's an act of the grace of God. And the beauty of this particular thing is that most families can spend a lot more time together. No little league sports. Tell me that's not a blessing. No concerts, no parties, no sports on TV. It's rough. No movies to go to, nothing to go, just stuck at home. Tell me that's not an incredible act of the grace of God for most of us. You know those kids that are growing up so fast? What a blessing to be forced to spend some time with them and to talk about the things of God when you rise up, when you sit at the dinner table, imagine, together, when you walk by the way, when you go to bed. You know that really nice lady in your house that's been making your meals and tidying things up for you? You know that really super nice lady? What a great time to get to know her. You know, it hadn't been time so far because you're making the money and doing the stuff in one day. What a marvelous blessing of God. So what's God up to? The really clear answer, the virus, it's a warning shot regarding judgment to come. But I think it's mostly the grace of God at work in our midst, and He is sovereign over disease. Question number three, got a little more time here. With disunity in government, and to some degree in the press, Who do we listen to? Romans 13, we've already gone over this. I'll just remind you of it. That government is a minister of God. God has three institutions. The primary institution is the family. The second institution is the church. The third institution is the state or government. And they are to work together for the blessing of marriage and family. That's God's design. And so in the same way that we see leadership in the church, we are to see leader, and in the same way, we are to see leadership in government. Now, we have to be discerning regarding the principles of heaven. We're not going to do what the government of heaven commands us to not do, and vice versa. Obviously, we obey heaven first, but we obey the government where we can. And so in Romans 13, we're called to submit to government and to honor government as ministers of God, whether they're atheists or not. Now, we know we need to honor every governing official. And our kids are picking up on our attitudes, by the way, as our spouses are. So we've got to be careful with that. But if they're indifference and they seem to be growing in very strong opinion in differences, and your favorite politician may be just pounding very different things than my favorite politician in Washington, what are we to do? Who do we listen to? Do y'all remember this little document called the Constitution? Do y'all remember the Bill of Rights shortly thereafter being tacked on to the Constitution? The first 10 amendments, points of clarification, okay? Just a little bit of history here, because this is going to give us the really clear answer to the question, who we listen to, all right? This is huge, all right? We're to submit to government. So quick little lesson on American government, all right? So we settle this thing regarding our Constitution. We have the Constitution. Then we have the Bill of Rights, which the anti-federalists, those who wanted the national government to have a little less control, pressed, and all that's not going to get passed very well unless we have the anti-federalists happy. And so we've got the Bill of Rights. The 10th Amendment, the last one, is what we commonly call states' rights, which says, in certain things, the Constitution gives the power to the national government. In everything else, this is a simplified interpretation of it, and it's been challenged all the way through to this day, by the way, this balance of power thing. In everything else, it's the states. And so we all argue over things like gun rights and marijuana for recreational use and all of that kind of thing. National stuff versus state stuff and who's in charge, all like that. But the Constitution is pretty plain. The 10th Amendment, pretty plain that it's a state's rights thing. Unless there's a huge federal emergency and the national government can take charge in that stead. So the really clear answer is, who do we listen to? Listen, Crosspoint, if we're going to be in unity regarding ministry and all that we're doing, we've got to tune in to the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, which is states' rights. And so that's what we do with all things. It's the state and local government that we trust to interpret what's coming down from the feds. Now, again, please don't turn me off, because I'm understanding there's a lot of differences going on because we're listening to different politicians and different political talk show hosts and all of that kind of thing, and some are pounding, everybody needs to stay inside, and you're a horrible person if you don't stay inside, scamper out to the grocery store and scamper back in. Besides that, don't come outside. Others are saying, no, we want to practice social distancing, but we're here to serve each other, and we want to run businesses that we can have social distancing but be very careful with that, and you've got everything in between on the national level. So what do we do to be in unity? We listen to the state government and local authorities. An example, should the beaches in Anna Maria be closed or not? Well, let's split the church. If you're in Holmes Beach, they should be open. If you're in Anna Maria, and the property line goes right down the middle of the church, by the way. I mean, the line, part of the church is in Holmes Beach, part's in Anna Maria. So we can split truly split the church. When we come back together again, we'll have the Anna Maria people over there. We'll have the Holmes Beach people down here. The Anna Maria people go, no, beaches are closed. Man, this is an emergency. Well, who's right? It depends on which government you're under. And you got to go with that government and tow it to the hilt. What does it mean the beaches are closed in Anna Maria? Well, Anna Maria government interprets that, not the feds. Okay? And so we listen to them, we listen to their intent, and we, with respect, obey them to the hilt. I'm in a little blue car with Alyssa yesterday for her birthday, one of these little death traps. That we rented. Bad idea, by the way. But a beautiful time with Alyssa. Just a gorgeous time. Yeah. And so we had a little lunch, and we're going to pull in under a tree at Coquina Beach area. Everything's like blocked off. We're going to pull in under a tree. And a cop came to us and said, you can't park. You can't do that. Everything's closed around here. And we said, well, I was hoping to just have lunch under the tree right beside the road. Nope, can't do that. And we said, Alyssa, right, we said, thank you very much for your service to our city, right? We thank them. There's several of them there. We thank them and we're appreciative. And had lunch somewhere else. That was their interpretation. And that's fine. And that's what we do. I encourage our members, by the way, what should the speed limit be out here? Well, according to Holmes Beach, obviously 35. According to Anna Maria, that needs the revenue, obviously 25. It depends on which one you're from, okay? I'd like to put in an Autobahn somewhere in Anna Maria, but I think, the feds are going to prevent that. So that's the balance of local government and the national. I've taken too long on this. I say all that to say this. If we're going to be in unity about is this ministry right or not? Are we breaking the code, from the feds if we do this, if we do that? Here's what's going to unify us. Listen really carefully. Tune in to the state government. Tune in to Ron DeSantis on Friday afternoons for his briefing. If you can't see it live, listen to it after the fact. Just Google it. It'll be on the top of the search, on the top of the options for you. Listen to it in its entirety. You'll hear the heart of him and the Florida CDC and doctors and whoever else is with him. You'll hear the heart behind what they're asking us to do. And I'm going to say this. Have we obeyed the government from day one in everything outside of the day I got back to the country, which I was clueless of what's going on? Besides that, have we obeyed the government in absolutely everything? You can't obey the national government in absolutely everything because we've got different leaders saying different things. But we're going to obey them to the best of our understanding. What truly comes down as a solid order, we're going to obey that from the national government, and we'll try to obey their the unified suggestions and executive orders for sure. But they're going to be interpreted best by our state leadership and local leadership. That's who we tune into if we're going to be unified. So the really clear answer is, listen to state leaders and local government leaders. Tune in to Rick DeSantis and his party, his cabinet, each Friday, and we're going to abide by that. A little bit further. One more. How can we live the mission and still obey the government regarding social distancing? Aren't we between a rock and a hard place here? Aren't we stifled? We can't possibly witness now. Going to give you three answers, and then we'll close down and have three more worship songs. Three clear answers. Our motto when it comes to living the mission is love, serve, and share. We're going to love our neighbors to the hilt. We're going to serve them every way we can, still obeying the government, the state government, and any federal regulations, of course, as well. And we're going to share as best we possibly can. So let me give you three ways to do that. Number one, we will continue unless it breaks CDC guidelines, as interpreted by our state. We will continue to offer to serve folks who are afraid to go out. We have people in the community that are terrified to go to the grocery store. And they don't know how to use the internet. They don't seem to know how to get Publix to deliver and the like. And they're scared. So I'm going to give you a riddle. All right, this is riddle time. And at home, you know, I have the boys and girls. I want you to listen to the riddle and see if you can figure out anything that's dangerous in this riddle. And there is. You'll be able to spot one or two things, maybe three. Okay, here's a riddle. Somebody calls us and says, hey, I'm scared to go to the store, read your ad in the newspaper, got your little hand, announcement that you're glad to go shopping for us, no strings attached, totally free, no donations accepted. Tell me about that. And so we tell them about it, how the deal works. And then we, which is basically, give us your grocery list, and you can put it under the mat or in the mailbox if you don't email or text, and we'll have a volunteer pick it up at an announced time. They will go to the store and bring back the goods at the announced time. They will go away. They will leave an envelope addressed to the church, stamped, and the bill. You are to write the amount out to the penny or less if you don't have the money, but do not give us a donation or a tip or anything, because we're going to give it back to you if you do. And when you pick up the groceries, take them to your sink. You're going to have a double sink, hopefully. Set them in your sink. Wash them. Wash your hands. Do it twice, three times, whatever you need to do to get any virus that's on those things off. Okay? So that's our instructions. So the volunteer goes, picks up the list from under the mat. Is he in danger at that point? Yeah, she could be, she or he could be a carrier of the virus and it could be on the thing. So he's got to be smart enough to wash his hands before touching his mouth. Takes the list to the grocery store, shops for the stuff on the list. Is he or she in danger, this volunteer, during that time? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, it's dangerous to go to the grocery store. I agree. Then goes back and leaves the groceries there. And she comes out after he leaves, takes them inside, and does as I've mentioned. Is there danger in that? Yeah. Are we breaking any guidelines of the government, CDC, or otherwise? Not at all. Not even in the ballpark. If Rick DeSantos was part of that, or Ron, he would completely agree, and his doctors and everybody else. Our volunteer is in danger. Is that the right thing biblically? Yeah, absolutely. We don't count our lives by any means as dear to ourselves that we might live the ministry and run the course that God has laid out for us. We will gladly die for others. Now, it's not that dramatic, obviously, but if it were, would we have volunteers doing this? Yes. Would I do it? Absolutely. Because that's what it is to serve the community. Better that than folks that are much older and they are, in medical difficulty. Okay? So, A, we will continue to serve. I hope we do that with the blessing of every CrossPoint member. I hope you understand. If you have any suggestions, give us a call. We want to tweak it and make it better. B, answer, invite a lost neighbor to this live feed or to watch it afterwards, or better, way better, invite them to your Zoom life group. Now, Wayne, never done life groups that are safer than this. You can be part of a life group from your own living room. If you don't like what's going on, you can just, dial out and pretend like the internet went out. I mean, it doesn't get safer than this. It's a great time to invite lost friends and neighbors to join your life. At least listen in. See how Christians interact in this time. All right? So use it.
Use it. And then C, last one, what a great time to connect with lost family. They're not doing anything. You know, they live in Michigan and California and, you know, Colorado and wherever. And they're busy and they can never have time to talk because there's a job and a kids and a little league. Well, they're not doing nothing now. What a great time to go, hey, I learned something new. It took me about 2 weeks to learn it, but I learned this thing called Zoom. Your kids are going to go, you're kidding me, right? You know, they're going to totally know. You know, and use it. Practice with your kids. Go, I need some practice with this. And then, by the way, my group's meeting on, you know, Friday night or Thursday night or Sunday morning or whatever. Invite them to come. Let's use the time to connect with our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids. What a blessing. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks for your great grace. Thank you so much for the blessing to be able to trust you, to bring everything to you in prayer, to know your presence, to know your sovereign power and guidance, to live in shalom, fullness of peace, and even fullness of joy. Father, you're in control, and we're not, and we trust you. Guide us. I'm sure there's so many opportunities we're missing to encourage each other, to grow in our knowledge of you, and to live this mission you've given to us. And certainly so many more things we could have talked about this morning. But have your way in us, have your way through us, be honored in our rest, fullness of shalom, well-being in you. May we be a people of great rest. At the same time, guide us in ministry opportunities with a great passion and great expectation of your work in others. And so balance shalom and rest with passion for ministry. Lord Jesus, we're all in various scenarios as far as health, and pray that in no way would this challenge a person who shouldn't be out volunteering in this way, that they would be guilt-tripped into doing so. That would be horrible, Father. Those who need to stay home, give them peace regarding staying home. But those who can serve, thank you so much for them. So many are volunteering. And I just feel their hearts, their deep desire to be a blessing to this nation and to specific individuals that are hurting. Thank you for them. Grow us, have your way in us, transform us hour to hour, day to day, we pray. And in every way, be honored, Father, in our hearts, every step of the way. Amen and amen. The next song we're going to do to worship the Lord is regarding our God, who is totally in charge. And so we close with that thought. It is true. And we're going to, in every way, focus on Him and glorify Him in this time as we declare His sovereignty. So if you would, join us.
Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Trading my sorrows. Amen.
Amen.
Trade our sorrows for the joy of the Lord.
Destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for
this promise will endure, that His joy is gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. And we say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Yes, Lord. How about that old church choir? I'd like to get one up here one of these days. Fill that right up. Get the organ and piano going. So this song's called The Old Church Choir.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Once you choose it, you can't lose it. Oh, cause there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. When the valleys that I wander turn to mountains that I can't climb, you are with me, never leave me. Oh, cause there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat, cause it's all you'll ever need, all you'll ever need. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat, cause it's all you'll ever need, it's all you'll ever need. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Oh, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Oh, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
Thank you so much for joining us today from your homes. Please contact us regarding anything on your heart, anytime, any needs you have. Nobody, not you, not your neighbors, goes through this alone. We're a family. We're here for you. We're here for your neighbors. Please call us about anything, anytime. Biggest thing, trust Christ as your Savior and Lord, real fast, the gospel. Jesus died in our place to pay the penalty of every bad thing we've done. It's the most important thing I've said today. He died in our place to pay the penalty of everything we've ever done. He rose again after paying the penalty of our sin. He's alive today. He offers us the gift of eternal life when we trust Him. Turn from everything else, everybody else, religion, everything else. Trust Him as Savior and Lord. And then join us as we grow in our knowledge of Him, living for Him, living a life of worship and trust. God bless each one of you. God make you a blessing.